My name's Rob Groves. I'm a professor of practice in the classics department here at the University of Arizona. You know, sort of one sort of weird moment that set me on my, that I see at least as kind of setting me on my career path was a moment, I think I was in high school, maybe around junior year or something, and I was listening to the soundtrack of a musical, and sort of things clicked, and I realized that there was sort of a subtext to the text of the song in a way that I didn't before, and that sort of I guess oriented me around thinking about texts and literature and things like that in a deeper way, in a way that I'd kind of resisted in my schoolwork, but that aligns more with what I do now professionally. The song was called Race You to the Top of the Morning, from the musical The Secret Garden. And, you know, in retrospect, the metaphor wasn't very deep, but there was this sort of metaphor that, you know, as a father reading a book to his son, and for various reasons the father can't interact with the boy regularly, and the father's sort of struggling with his own illness, and sort of in the guise of telling his son the story, there's sort of this dragon that he refers to that you come to understand is sort of a metaphor for his illness and so on. And so, that sort of, as I dug into that, it sort of clarified for me sort of what was going on in that show, which I hadn't seen on stage and still haven't actually. Well, so I've never seen the show, and this was the thing is, you know, sort of growing up in small towns, various places in the Midwest, I didn't see a lot of live theater, but I listened to a lot of Broadway, sort of cast albums and things like that. And so I spent a lot of time kind of reconstructing the show, casting the show, you know, sort of staging the show in my head. And working from the evidence I had to piece together what the story was, to piece together what would have been happening on stage and so on. And again, as a classicist now, I work with fragmentary evidence to try to get a full picture of the past. So it's an interesting parallel. That's right. Yeah. Sort of listening for, clues, that are suggestive of bigger pieces. Is very much what I do now as I read ancient texts and examine ancient art and things like that. Can you say that again?
So you're talking about listening to a piece of music and really wrapping your head around it and then thinking about it in a context. Was that the kind of listening that you brought to most songs, or was it just this one song?
I did this kind of listening for all sorts of songs. I will say I mostly listened to sort of Broadway cast albums. That was my go-to. I didn't really connect with pop music very much or rock or anything like that at the time. My tastes have broadened a little bit over the years, but very much, you know, the idea of listening as to sort of the story in the music and the music as that is the notes and so on as supportive of the storytelling, I think is actually really fundamental to how I thought about music and how I think about music. So that, you know, when I did sort of start expanding my musical tastes, there would be certain artists like Billy Joel, for example, who often tells stories elaborately through the songs and isn't just sort of a feeling, but there is more narrative sort of to it. And so I tended to vibe with music that sort of had that storytelling mode in it in one way or another. Yeah, so I listened to, you know, I mean, sort of Les Miserables excessively, eventually Rent, you know, sort of everything. I have a very, you know, sort of eclectic musical taste in terms of Broadway shows, from sort of old stuff from the 40s and 50s to very modern shows. But it's all over the map, and it's really deep seated. I sort of know a lot of the trivia and certainly the lyrics and so on, and that has stuck with me throughout time. Because I more often hear the music before I see the show, it means that I come to the shows with preconceptions. And there are shows that that I go see and I'm frankly disappointed, because I either imagine something grander, something more subtle, interesting, complicated, either at a specific moment or just throughout. And likewise, the reverse. I mean, I remember seeing a production of the Disney Aida musical, and the music for it was okay. You know, I didn't dislike it, but the production has this over-the-top kind of visual staging stuff going on that that kind of shocked and wowed me in a way that I was not prepared for. Well, so I can, you know, rant may not be fair, but there's a really great Broadway musical called Spring Awakening. That the story is really powerful and relevant and touching. And the music is by Duncan Sheik. And I really just don't like the way the music is put together. You know, the lyrics are kind of disconnected from the story, and the actual music itself does a lot of the work of basically these teenage characters from the 19th century, but with modern sort of rock music. And so it's expressing some of that teenage rebellion and sexuality and some of the things like this. But the lyrics are basically sort of dreamy nonsense, and I really dislike it. And at one point I heard an interview with him where he said basically he thinks of the word's job is basically to just stay out of the way of the music. And it's just fundamentally different than how I think of the way a song works and where I connect with songs.
Yeah. You have also written some songs too, right?
I do some parody lyrics and so on. I definitely don't have the knack for new melodies or arrangements, but I, in the vein of sort of, I mean, nowhere on the level, but sort of Weird Al style things. So, for the gay chorus that I work with in town, there's we've done a couple of rearrangements of, you know, an Ed Sheeran song and various things.
Reveille,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so Reveille Men's Chorus. I've been with them since I moved here 10 years ago. I will say, you know, just in a totally different vein, that making music is also really sort of important to me. I as I was reflecting on this, I moved around a lot in school. I went to, you know, something like 7 or 8, 9 different schools before I graduated high school. And one of the moves was between junior and senior year. And I was in choir all throughout middle school and high school. But I have a very strong memory of the sort of the choir class in my second school, in my second high school in senior year. As being like the one place where I felt connected with other people in a way that was not true in my other classes. And not that people were bad or anything, it's just I had a very strong sense of being an intruder amongst people who knew each other very well. And the boundaries were lower in choir, and that was a pretty important place for me. For me, I think in many ways, choir is forces you to be vulnerable, right? I mean, singing maybe even more than playing a musical instrument or something is sharing a part of yourself, and a part that is easy to be judged on, that can go wrong in a lot of different ways. And so I think it encourages us to be a little more vulnerable around each other. And the other piece, I think, of a choir that makes a difference, that helps create such community, is the fact that you are working together with people so closely. And this would be true in a band or an orchestra or any kind of group, really. But that communal pull, where both the kind of unity of purpose and also the differences that each person or each section brings to things is not something that often happens, right? And it's not competitive in the way that, for example, sports maybe has some of those elements, but is focused on beating someone as opposed to just creating something. And so that, I think, is really exciting. And it's sort of one of the things I see as a challenge of the moment we're in 2023 is there are not a lot of good communal activities in our society at the moment. And choir, it strikes me, is one of the ones in which people can come together with a shared purpose, but with a kind of low bar to entry, right? Other than being willing to put yourself out there and having some basic musical competency. It doesn't require a lot of money. It doesn't require a lot of extensive training. Just sort of a willingness to be there and do the work and contribute.